For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's September 11th, and we are in Derech Hashem, and today we're going to summarize the second perek of Derech Hashem. So as I mentioned to you before, the first perek is very philosophical, and as we move along, we get a better sense for what the Sefer is all about, which is to tell us really what we're doing here, why we're here, how things are working, how does Hashem run the world. That's what it's all about. Now the second perek deals with something which all of you are familiar with. It's like the ABCs of why we're here. But what I have found when I've talked to people about this is that when we first hear this concept, we process it in an elementary fashion. And a lot of people retain that elementary understanding and never graduate to a deeper understanding of what it means. And this is the concept of Nama de Kisufa. Nama de Kisufa means, Nama is the Aramaic word for bread, and Kisufa means shameful, shameful bread. The whole idea that we earn our keep for Olam Haba. So most everyone understands that idea on a very simplistic level. And the way most people say it is that Hashem wants to reward us, but He wants the reward to be something that is meaningful to us. And if He were just... The fundamental question is, if Hashem created the world in order to be meitiv, to create the world in order to do good, so then just give me pleasure. Create me and put me in a pleasurable place. If Olam Haba is the most pleasurable place there is, so why didn't He just create me and put me in Olam Haba? Why did He put me through this world first? So the general answer is this idea of Nama de Kisufa, which is that if you are given a gift, it is not as meaningful as if you earn the gift. When you earn something, it's much more meaningful to you than if you are just given it. So if I hand you $100, so it's nice to have $100, but that $100 is not going to be as significant to you as when you work for that $100 and you're paid that $100. That $100 is now much more, you feel like it's yours. You put effort into getting it. And therefore, you relate to that $100 a lot more closely than if I would just hand it to you. So, therefore, Hashem wants us to earn Olam Haba, and then it's a lot more meaningful. That's the way that most, not Sfarim, that's the way when I talk to people, I ask them about this concept of Nama de Kisufa, that's the way they generally spit it back. And that presentation is sort of true, but it's very elementary, very simplistic, and it's really missing the main point. Now, before I go further, how many of you have heard before of this concept of Nama de Kisufa? Okay, so you all have had some connection to it. And I'm assuming that what I've said so far kind of resonates. So the Ramchal, in the second perek, goes through this in much more detail. And he starts off with the statement that Hashem created the world in order to be meitiv. That's a given. Which, as I said last week, we don't really understand that, because what triggered Him to be meitiv? That's something which we're never going to be able to answer. How could there be anything? He's perfect. So why would He need to be meitiv? It can't be for Himself. It must be for others. But there were no others before He created us. So what was the impetus to be meitiv? So the whole thing is difficult to understand. But Chazal tell us that He created the world in order to be meitiv. So now, if that's a given, that He created the world to be meitiv, that means He needed to create the most perfect scenario, the most perfect bria that lends itself for Him to be meitiv. Because you're starting off, Hashem wants to be meitiv. So now you've got an empty slate. There's nothing. There's no Bria. There's nothing that exists except for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now he's going to create something which will enable him to be Mativ. So it's going to be a Bria that is the most perfectly calibrated Bria for Hashem to be Mativ. So that's where you get the question, so why didn't he just create a world or a creature that would get intense pleasure all the time? So Hashem is being Mativ. But he didn't do that. So why not? And that's where the discussion begins. Hashem is perfect. That's a given. He's shalem. Shalem means perfect. Complete. He's not lacking anything. Hashem wants to be mativ. Mativ means to, you have to use a verb of the word good. The closest English translation is to give good, but there's no word give in there. He wants to good somebody. He wants to put good on something. That's what he wants to do. Tov. He wants to tov something in the verb form. So before going further, we have to define what is tov. The way I've been talking so far is that tov is pleasure. So because I kept saying, if Hashem's going to be mativ, just give me pleasure. Isn't that being mativ? Well, that's only being mativ if pleasure is tov. Is pleasure tov? That's the first question you have to answer. What is called tov? We may like pleasure, but is it really tov? So, pleasure just means a sensation of enjoyment. That's what pleasure is. We sense enjoyment. We feel good. We have a good feeling, a good sensation. There's all kinds of pleasures out there. There's good food. There's what we say, nachas. Nachas is a pleasure. Right? There is a ruchnistika pleasure. There's all kinds of pleasures out there. So, it's true that being mativ is giving or gooding somebody. It's giving pleasure to somebody. But what's pleasure? So we know that pleasure can't mean physical pleasure, because all physical pleasures become less pleasurable the more you have them. Any physical pleasure, the more you have it and the longer it's sustained, the less pleasurable it gets. Not only that, but all physical pleasures, the less you work for it, the less pleasurable it is. All physical pleasures are more enjoyable when they're harder to get and they are few and far between. If you love chocolate, so if you're able to have chocolate all day long, you will not love chocolate after a little bit of time. If you love ice cream, if you're able to have ice cream all day long, and it doesn't affect you, you can have it, you will not have any negative health benefits from it. You can just eat ice cream all day long and it won't hurt you, and it won't be a problem, and everything will be great. And it's unlimited, and you don't have to pay anything for it. It won't be a long time before you don't like ice cream anymore. You'll get sick of it. All physical pleasures are like that. So, therefore, that can't be the ultimate tov. So the ultimate tov must be a pleasure that not only can be forever, it can keep on going, but it actually improves over time. Not gets worse. It must be. So Hashem is shalem. He's perfect. That means, if he's perfect, it means he is also tov. He is tov. Tov means good. Tov means the way things ought to be. So Hashem is also tov. In fact, he kind of blends the two words. Shalem and tov almost go together. So if Hashem is going to good us, meaning give us good, put good upon us, the ultimate tov is to be with Hashem. That's the ultimate tov. That is the most pleasurable experience. Now, we as physical beings don't really appreciate what that means. There's no way to really appreciate that. We can kind of think about it, but Hashem is not a physical being. We can't think of him as a body. So what does it mean to be with Hashem? Does it mean give him a big hug? Like, what does that mean? So there's no way for us human beings to really understand what it means to be with Hashem or close to Hashem. But that is the greatest pleasure possible. And for this, we have to accept what Chazal tell us, that there is no greater pleasure. Being close to Hashem is a pleasure which is ongoing. It never ends. It gets better over time. It is more intense than any other pleasure. You take all the pleasures you can think of in this world that you really like. Take the best foods and take whatever it is. Take everything and put it all together. It's nothing like the pleasure of being close to Hashem. When I was a little kid, the concept of death scared me. It didn't scare me because, it still scares me sometimes, but it doesn't scare me because of dying, which is, you know, that's a scary thing to die. But what scared me is that after one dies, then they live forever. So that scared me. It still does sometimes. What do you mean live forever? What is it? So, like, what's next? What do you do? So when I articulated this to my father when I was a kid, the way he dealt with it, the way he dealt with my fear, is he said to me, I can't tell you what it's going to be like, and I can't tell you what it is. We don't know. But I can tell you, I can guarantee you, you're going to love it. It is very, very enjoyable. It's very pleasurable, and you're going to love it. But the key is, you're going to love it and you won't get tired of it. See, you won't need what comes next. When you finally get that great dessert that you've always been waiting for, but as soon as you finish the dessert, okay, what's next? I'm satiated from this. I had all the dessert I wanted. Now what? Well, I got to have another goal. I have another drive. What's the next thing? But with being close to Hashem, there is no next thing because it is the most pleasurable thing there is. And it doesn't end. It doesn't get stale. It doesn't get old. It's constantly fresh and exciting to be close to Hashem. So the greatest tov that there is, in fact, he says the only tov that there is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's step one. Step two is this. To be close to somebody or something. To be close, let's talk about somebody. To be close to somebody, you have to be able to somehow connect. Right? There are different types of connections. When you give your mother a hug, so you are physically close. That's one connection. Human beings can be physically close. But there's other ways of connecting. We can connect. We share a cosmic link. We just connect, right? You have this. People talk like that. You can connect with ideas. You can connect with. We talked about last week with goals, with a direction. You can connect in broader ways than just physically. How do you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's not physical. We talked about last week. He's not spiritual. We have nothing like him at all. We are created beings. He's the creator. He's perfect. We are lacking. He is a kol yachol, and we're completely dependent. He's completely independent. In what way are we exactly supposed to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we connect to him? So the only way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be as much like him as possible. When we are similar to him, then we connect with him. That's part of what Chazal mean when they say, Mahu rachum, afatatei rachum. Mahu chanun, afatatei chanun. Mahu kavar sameisim, afatatei kavar sameisim. Hu bigur sacholim, right? Everything you do like him. By acting, by being like him, that connects us to him. It makes us like each other. Like, I don't mean like as in, I don't mean like love each other. I mean, it makes us similar to each other. Now, obviously, it's impossible for a human being to truly be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in some manner, the question is, how could a created being be, at least some way, somehow, in a tiny way, similar to the Creator. That's where this concept comes in. So what he writes is the following. Everything Hashem has, He has because they are inherently His. Everything that is Him is inherent. Nobody gave it to Him. He just is. He is perfect. He is Tov. He is Chanun. He is Rachum. All these things are inherent. They're not something that He had to learn how to do, someone had to teach Him how to do, someone had to give to Him. They're all inherent. Everything we have is given to us. Nothing we have is on our own. Everything is given to us. Our existence is given to us. Our life is given to us. Our intellect is given to us. Our strength is given to us. Our health is, everything, our finance, everything is given to us. So in what way can we be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The only way that we can somehow mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up a system in which we can sort of earn something. Because when you earn something, then it's something which is rightfully yours. If I work for you, and I work for you for $10 an hour for 10 hours, and you give me $100, so when you hand me that $100 bill, so do you expect me to go, "Oh, thank you so much"? Of course not. I worked for it. I don't have to. I mean, I'll say thank you, but I worked for it. I don't have to get down on my hands and knees and thank you like that. I worked. I did something for you. You gave me back the money that I deserve. It's mine. I don't have to show you gratitude like that. The closest that a human being can come to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system in which a human being can have something that it is inherently theirs. But nothing is inherently ours. The closest we can get to that is that we at least did something to deserve it. So it's not something that was just handed to us, but it's something that we did something that there is at least some logic to it that we should get it. So there's a lot of things like that. We just talked about one, right? Earning money. We talked about a lot of things. There are a lot of things which you can do, and by working for it, it becomes yours. But Hashem wants to give us tov. He wants to tov us. He wants to good us. So He created a system in which the tov can be ours. Rather than the tov being something which was given to us, which is not like Him at all, He created a system in which we can earn the tov. We can make the tov rightfully ours, which makes us like Him, which means that we are close to Him. But the tov is being close to Him. That's what tov is. So how does He have a system in which we can earn the tov, which means being close to Him? How does that happen? So that's where the whole Torah and mitzvahs, everything comes in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which a person has the ability to bekone the tov, to acquire the tov, to get close to Hashem by, so to speak, owning being close to Hashem, acquiring being close to Hashem. Because if it isn't acquired, it's not really close to Hashem. Because remember, Hashem, everything is His, and for us, everything is given to us. So we're distant from Hashem. The only way to be close is to have something which is ours. So He made it that the very act of being close to Him, which is to have something inherently which is ours, you can earn that. You can acquire, you can make it yours, the ability to be close to Him. And that in and of itself makes you close to Him. Do you see the beauty in what I'm saying? It's unbelievable the system He set up. Again, I just want you to hear the two steps over here. He wants us to be close to Him. But you can't be close to Him unless you earn something. Because if you don't earn it, then everything is given to you, you're not like him. So you have to earn being close to him. But the definition of being close to him is to earn something. So he gave you the ability to earn being close to him, which is defined as owning something inherently, which is earning something. It all is one thing, they're all one and the same. When you do a mitzvah and you don't do an avera, what you are doing is you are acquiring closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only be when you acquire. It can't be when it's given. So it's not simply that, well, Hashem wants you to appreciate it. Now, we start off the very simplistic way of saying it. Hashem wants you to appreciate it. So he doesn't want to just hand you pleasure. He wants you to earn it so you'll appreciate it. It's not so you'll appreciate it. It's that it won't be tov. It won't be that intense pleasure because you won't be like Hashem. Imagine going to Olam Haba. Imagine going to Olam Haba. And so you're ready to be Mis'aneg al Hashchina. You're going to go there and you're going to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you get there and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over there and you're over there. Well, I want to get close, but you can't. There's a wall. You can't go over there. But this is where I'm supposed to... Right? But you can't because you're not close to him because you didn't earn it. It's not that if it was given to us, it wouldn't be as pleasurable. It wouldn't be pleasure because it wouldn't be close to him. Closest to him is defined as earning the closeness. Otherwise, it's not close to him because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be like him, you have to earn. So he created a system which is the perfect system in which creatures can become like their creator. That's what he did. There is no other system that would have worked. This is the only system that works. There is no other system that works. He's perfect. He created the perfect system. Handing us pleasure would not be pleasurable. It would be what we call pleasure in this world. But the type of pleasure that we're talking about, ongoing, intense pleasure that never ends, that there's nothing that you want beyond it, that it's everything you ever wanted and you never want it to end and you don't want to go on to something else, that's only being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that can only happen with a pleasure that we earned, which is a closeness to him that we earned. He created a creature that can do this. That's us, human beings, because we have Bechira. And he created an environment in which it can be done. That's this world, in which there are pulls and pushes, there are things that we have to do, things that we have to not do, and we have desires to do what we're not supposed to do, and to not do what we are supposed to do, and we have to fight with ourselves and struggle, and by doing that, and we overcome ourselves, we acquire the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of Nama Dekisufa. That's the true, at least as best as I could spit it back to you, that's the idea of Nama Dekisufa. If you really want to see it, then you should go through the second paragraph of Derech Hashem. But that's the real concept of Nama Dekisufa. You see what I'm saying? It's overly simplistic to say that he wants us to appreciate it. It's not he wants us to appreciate it. He wants us to have it. If we didn't earn it, it wouldn't be pleasurable. It just wouldn't be. It wouldn't be close to him. It had to be this way, and only this way. Any questions about that?
So, at the beginning, you were describing how Hashem is Tov. So I don't understand, because before we said that, Hashem can't, let's say, like you say, okay, Hashem is Rachem, right? Hashem can't be Rachem, because if Hashem is Rachem and Chanan, and Hashem is not two things.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. We learned last week that Rachum and Chanon are just ways that does things, and we define him in that, but he's not really. What he really is Shalom and Tov. Those things are real.
So if he's Shalom and he's Tov, then how is that?
Those are the same thing. That's what he keeps saying here. Tov and Shalom are the same thing. Mm-hmm. The ultimate good is to be Shalom. We can't be Shalom, mm-hmm. but we can in some small measure be sort of, kind of, Shalom. Any other questions? Now, there are several things to take out of here. Just, first of all, on the general point he's making about where we find ourselves in this world, that it's, if a person says, why do I have to go through all this? Like, I don't want to struggle. I don't want to fight. I don't want to have to, I don't want a Yetzirah to fight with. I don't want, when a person says that, which I think any normal person says at some point, but it's missing the whole reason for being here. The only reason to exist in this world is to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the reason to be here. And there's another way to say that, which is to be Megala Kvod Shamayim. We'll talk about that another time. He's going to get to that. But the reason Hashem put us here is so we can get close to Him. And the only way to get close to Him is to struggle. It's the only way. There is no other way to get close to Him. There's no shortcut. There's no free lunch. It's not that there's no free lunch because no one's giving the free lunch. There's no free lunch because a free lunch is not lunch. That's why. The only way to have lunch is to earn it. So we shouldn't deal with our struggles. You know, this time of year we think about everything that we're going through and what do we need to improve, those things that we've tried to improve each year and we keep on struggling and we're not getting any better, and a person can say, why do I have to deal with this? It is the struggle which is why we're here. And we shouldn't reject the struggle. The purpose in being here is to have that struggle and to overcome it and to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should embrace the struggle, even though it may be very difficult. So I come to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and I say to myself, I have a temper, and I lose my temper. I don't like losing my temper. And every year I try to correct it. It doesn't get any better. Or I speak Lashon Hara. And I tell myself not to speak Lashon Hara, but I do it anyway. I don't like to. So, or I'm jealous. I have kinna. I don't want to have kinna, but I do have kinna. So we should do tshuva, so we should have remorse for our averus, that's for sure. But the reaction should not be that I wish I didn't have any struggles. That's not what I wish. It's I wish I was stronger in fighting my Yetzirah. But my Yetzirah was put into me for a good reason, and that is that I can then become, in some small measure, Shalim, and have a little bit of Tov. That's why it's there. But it's more than that. The starting point is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Meitiv. That's the starting point. He wants to be Meitiv. And therefore, He created a system which enables Him to be Meitiv. So He created a system for us that we could be the recipients of His Hatava. That's what He did. If we're really going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we should want to be Meitiv. Because that's what He wants to do. So the ultimate being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the desire to be Meitiv. If you want to be Meitiv, so you know how it is. People sometimes want to do something for somebody else. And they buy a gift. They take care of something for them. Whatever it is, right? They do. But it's not what the other person wanted. The other person didn't ask for it, didn't want that. So you want to do something, you know, I want to do something for somebody, so I buy them an expensive gift. They didn't want that gift. That's not what they wanted. I didn't spend the time and put in the effort to figure out what is it that they really want. And by not doing that, I may have the desire to be mative, but I'm not using the second step. Hashem does two things. He wants to be mative, so He creates a system that is perfect for being mative. Now, we can't create systems, but if I want to be mative to you, then it's obvious that I need to do some research about what kind of hatava is it that you want. Otherwise, how am I being mative? So it requires putting yourself on the other side in order to properly be mative. So if I'm going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to want to be mative. And if I'm really going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not only going to want to be mative, but I'm going to follow that up with the recipient side as well and figure out what do they really want. Hashem made us in a way that He can be mative to us. We can't change a person like that, but we can figure out what's on the other side, what they would really want. Do they want a gift? Do they want friendship? Do they want to spend some time together? Like, what do they really want? When Chaim Miriam's class graduated 8th grade, so she spoke at the graduation. She gave the Hebrew talk at the graduation. So in that talk, she spoke about the bracha of Shastani Kirtzono. So she said that, what's the pshat of Shastani Kirtzono? So she didn't want to say, you know, the typical apologetic answers for Shastani Kirtzono. Obviously, if it's a bracha of Shalo Asani Isha, you can't translate those words without saying in some way that in some manner it's better to be a man than to be a woman. Because the language is that He didn't make me a woman. If I'm making a bracha every morning that He didn't make me a woman, clearly it's better than I'm a man. There is no other way of translating those words. Any other way of translating those words is purely apologetic and has to do with today's liberalism, which is all treif. Of course, the bracha is saying that a man is giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that You didn't make me a woman. Which is true. It is better to be a man than a woman in some ways, and that's what the bracha is about. In other ways, it's better to be a woman than a man. The bracha is referring to chiyuv in mitzvahs. That's what it's talking about. And when you talk about how many mitzvahs you're chayiv in, it is better to be a man than it is to be a woman, because a man is chayiv in more mitzvahs, and the more you're chayiv in, then the more you're able to earn schar. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. If you want to be mizakeh, you give Him more mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me more mitzvahs than He gave you. So for that, I thank Him. But there's another aspect in which it's better to be a woman than it is to be a man. What is that aspect? Now, there are several answers to that question. The most obvious answer to that question is the ability to birth a child, to bring the next generation to the world. It's something that is fundamental, and that's what the Nashim Tzidkaniyos and Mitzrayim did, etc. We can talk about that another time, how that experience, that ability, is something that a woman has over a man. There's no bracha for it, most likely because it is something that makes a woman sick and can be dangerous, and we don't make bracha on things like that. But it does give a woman an advantage over a man. But what Chaim Miriam said is this, that ultimately we're here to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reach Shlemus, to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ultimate, most important mitzvah of a man is Limud HaTorah. That's the most important mitzvah of a man. Is Limud HaTorah. Whether it's learning it himself, whether it is supporting it, whatever it is, but Limud HaTorah is the most important mitzvah for men. For women, the most important mitzvah, Nashim B'mayiz Dachyan, how do women appreciate Olam Haba? That is by enabling Limud HaTorah. Men have to do the Limud HaTorah, women have to enable the Limud HaTorah. When a woman enables her husband or her sons or the men in her life to learn, then that's her connection to Olam Haba. That's her Limud HaTorah. She could learn also, but that's Enam Mitzvah V'Vaisa. Remember, the woman who gets her husband or sons to learn earns more, much more, than the woman who learns. All those liberal people who the women are learning, their chelik in Olam Haba is much less than the women who get the men in their lives to learn. Because learning for a woman is Enam Mitzvah V'Vaisa. Getting their men in their learn to learn, getting the men in their lives to learn is mitzvah v'isa, so it is a much bigger schar. So the real ultimate job of a woman is to enable limud haTorah. Enabling means that I'm not doing it myself; I'm doing it to get the other person. I'm encouraging. I am trying to facilitate somebody else's success. So what she said at the graduation in Hebrew, so that it wouldn't be understood in English, so we wouldn't get any backlash, but it was said in Hebrew, was, well, that wasn't what she said, she was asking in Hebrew talk, but this is, I think it's the only reason why they let her say the speech, was because it was that the job of being mativ, which means to do to another, is much more a woman's role than a man's role. The man does the learning, the woman enables. That enabling is being mativ, it is doing for another. Therefore she said, Sha'asani kirtso no, he made me, a woman, with the goal, with my job is like his ratzon. What's his ratzon? To be mative. Not he made me as he wanted to, as if like, well, you know, he couldn't figure out what else to do, so he did this, right? And he did as he wished, as if, you know. No, he made me according to his ratzon. His ratzon is to be mative. He made me into a mative. That's what he did. Women are closer to the mative than a man is. And in that way, it is better to be a woman than a man. The two brachos, one bracha is talking about how many mitzvahs you're chayavin. And in that way, it is better to be a man than a woman. The other bracha is talking about being most like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer to that ideal of being mative. And in that way, a woman starts off in a better place than a man. Yeah.
So in that case, it's almost as being a mitzvah that is being close to Hashem.
Yes.
The whole thing. So, but the men, they, let's say, by doing the mitzvahs, you become close to Hashem also. So it's almost as if the women are getting it for free. So if we're able to get it for free,
right.
And then
good.
Like,
good. So the thing is like this: it's not that it happens by itself, but he created women that's your job. Your job is to be mative. That's your job. It's not something which is agav. Like, well, you're also doing something else. That's your role in life is to be mative. So that you're already on that track, but you still have to earn it. You got to do it. Plenty of women out there are not mative. Right? There's plenty of women out there very selfish. Who don't, you know, there's plenty of that going on. But that is the track that you're on, and that is cured. So no, but that was a good question. So the idea of enabling, of being mative, of thinking of others, is something which you should look at not only as something which is a good thing to do, but you should look at that as something which is the ideal of all mankind, men and women, is to be thinking of doing for another. That's ultimately being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as women, that is something which you were given a little bit of an extra push in than men. It's something which a woman should embrace and see as a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a nebuch that in our dar, the vast majority of women, goyim, Jews, secular, even from, but the vast majority of women are so influenced by the horrible liberalism around us that they can't appreciate this. Everything is about how can I be more like a man? How can I get the privileges of men? How can I be treated like a man? That's what it's all about. And it's missing the boat. The goal is not to be like men. The goal is to be like Hashem. All of us. The goal is to be like Hashem. We were given different roles to do it. But ultimately, the goal is to be mative. So think of others. I want to be mative, but also how best to be mative. What do they really want, need? What's going to be a hatava to them? That's the way to be doing mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu the most. Any questions?
So if women have that extra push in that direction of being mated, then it's almost like a disadvantage to a man that a man doesn't have that push. So how does a man get that through his Limud Torah?
That's the answer. Limud HaTorah for a man, this gets into the depths of the difference between how men and women think. The Limud HaTorah on a man is the Gemara says Barasi Yetzahara or Barasi Tara Tavlin. The Tara is the remedy to the Yetzahara. So men have more mitzvahs, which means there's more struggles. Not that there's more struggling, because you can struggle over one thing for a long time, but there's more things to struggle about. Since there are more mitzvahs, then there's more to struggle about. There's more to worry about. There's more different things and different Yetzaharas that can pull you away from all kinds of things. So the Torah is the antidote to that. So through the Limud HaTorah, that's how a man is able to then deal with all the extra mitzvahs and be able to overcome these struggles. But you're right, it's not inherently in the Hatava part of it. There is a mitzvah of doing chesed for everybody. I mean, everybody has a mitzvah, men and women, both have a mitzvah of chesed. But it's much more inherent for a woman.
But if you said the goal of everyone is really to be mated,
yes.
So then for the man, his goal is also to be mated, so he's going to reach that goal through Torah, I guess.
Yeah, it's through Limud HaTorah. You're right, it needs a little bit of a hesper. How is Limud HaTorah exactly like that? I mean, we're talking about over here is Torah, Avodah, and Gevulah Chasadim. Avodah, men and women are on the same plane. But Torah is the men's domain, and Chesed is the woman's domain. Not that men don't do Chesed, and not that women don't learn anything, but it's the domain of Torah is men, the domain of Chesed is women.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.